If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon Podcast. I am really excited today because I have a good friend on the program today. Her name is Sabina Durden Coulter. She's an angel mom. And for those of you who don't necessarily know what an angel parent is, it's someone who's lost a relative at the hands of an illegal immigrant. And Sabina was one of the first people that I met when I got involved in the political world. I was told, you know, we need you to go interview these people. They're angel parents. And that was the first time I learned what an angel parent was. And to be honest, I didn't know how to have this conversation. And when you hear Sabina today, you'll just realize that it's easy to have a conversation with her because she is like everybody's mom. So Sabina, thank you so much for being on the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Tudor. And I'm so honored to be here with you. And yes, we've known each other a long time. And you did so great back then. And matter of fact, I appreciate people that are willing to just talk. There is no right and wrong way. So...
But it is a tough subject, though, and it's sad because we continue to see this happen. So your story, I want you to talk a little bit about Dominic. Your son died on July 12, 2012, and that was because he was in an accident. Now, what you have to know about, for people listening, you always have Dom hugs on you somewhere written. You are like, I got to give you a Dom hug, and it really is... I think you are so powerful in the way you talk about your son. He must have been such an amazing human being.
Thank you, Tudor. And yes, the Dom hugs are the kind of hugs this my 6'4" big guy, my German chocolate, as he called himself, because he was born in Germany. And obviously, he got some chocolate in him. He called himself that. And he, when I'm asked my biggest accomplishment, that is having that incredible son that showed for 30 years what an amazing man he was. And as a little kid, he started hanging out with kids that were smelly and had runny noses in kindergarten. So he always tended to the ones that weren't the popular ones. And he carried that throughout his life just to care. And everybody that met him said he never met a stranger. Everybody fell in love with him because he was real and unique and kind. And so I was so proud, and I still am proud to be Dom's mom. Dominic was 30 years old. Oh, I am incredibly proud. But he was 30 years old after he volunteered for the city of Moreno Valley in California, where he was volunteer of the year because he gave thousands of his free time to volunteer for the fire department and so forth. So you would always see Dominic somewhere in town. Everybody knew him. Then he started finding a love for aviation and also law enforcement. But he had a hip injury, so he couldn't become a police officer. He said, well, the next best thing is being a dispatcher, 911 dispatcher. So he did that. And I still hear that he was truly one of the best. He saved many police officers' lives. And he could just do his job watching six monitors. And once the calls were down, he could clown with his friends who still celebrate his birthday every year. We're going on 12 years now. So he just excelled. He wanted to become a helicopter pilot for the police department. But sadly, an illegal alien from Guatemala who didn't obey by our rules, not coming here illegally, not driving drunk, not driving without a license or registration or insurance, had an old car that he drove up the road while Dominic on his motorcycle was going to work, coming towards him. And the guy turned the truck in front of him, trying to get into a street to catch one of those vans that pick up illegal alien labor because it's cheaper. And he hit Dominic so hard that it killed him instantly and threw him into this wall on the sidewalk. There were two Marines in their cars behind Dominic watching this horror. One of them stayed with Dominic, and he told me later, he said he was already dead. He didn't suffer. And the other one ran after the illegal who tried to get away, and he wasn't even charged with hit and run. Police, the calls came into the dispatch center that Dominic worked at. They were waiting for him because he was late. He was never late. He was sloppy sometimes with the boots halfway on, but he wasn't late. And then finally, the license plate number came in, and it showed up as... they had a secret code for police officers on their private vehicles and all that. And now they started talking, and then somebody recognized the number. And the mayhem in that dispatch center, they were screaming, crying. They fell apart. They had to bring in dispatchers from other centers because they couldn't do it. The first responder knew Dominic and went into shock. The fire department showed up. They knew him because he was one of their best volunteers. They couldn't do anything. So they had to call highway patrol to secure the scene. And they transported Dominic on the fire truck with an American flag. That's why this flag means so much to me. To the coroner's office. I was in Atlanta. I had just arrived with my now husband, Anthony, who's been my rock. And I tried to call Dominic, and he would go to voicemail. And I had a weird feeling something was off. You know how we moms are linked to our kids. We feel it.
Yeah, something's I remember you telling me there was like a sense that you felt it. And I just thought, I think about that often, the connection of a mother to her only child.
Yeah, it never goes away. And so I tried to call him on his job, and they acted real strange, and they couldn't talk. And then I thought, okay, he's in the hospital, full body cast, and I'm going to tickle him. I'm going to make it, you know, I'll make it my fun to tease him. But then the lieutenant came on, and those words you hear in the movies, I'm so sorry to tell you that Dominic was killed. They are as fresh to date as you can see right now as they were 12 years ago. Because you go into this shock, disbelief. I just kissed him. I just hugged him at the airport. Playing around, laughing, joking. Then we turned around, flew back to California. And I was still thinking, because he was a big prankster. Him and I pranked each other constantly. And I thought, if he's pranking me with this, I'm going to beat him so hard. But we got to Ontario, and his best friends were there picking us up. And I knew it was true. So I broke down. I needed to go by the spot. At that time, Tudor, I still thought it was an accident, because they do happen, sadly.
Right.
And a little while later, an officer whispered in my ear, because every day we met, hundreds of people met at the spot, put a big old memorial on the wall and flowers. And he whispered to me, he said, you need to talk to the DA. He needs to tell you the truth. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said,
The
driver of the car is an illegal alien.
Why do they hide it? Why is that that how it goes? I mean, even this latest story that we've heard in Grand Rapids, it would not have come out. They were not going to tell the American people that it's this guy was illegal.
Yeah, it's getting worse. When you see Michigan man or Chicago man, you can pretty much bet on it that it's an illegal. They try to, we know it's an invasion. We know it's a catastrophe that's happening at the border, what it does to America and its citizens. And they try to whitewash it. Like when they get arrested, they label them as white. Not Hispanic, not black, no, white. Just to slant the statistics. But so once I found out it was an illegal alien, things changed. And I started to pick up more. Coming out of the shock, you're still underwater. You don't know what day it is, what year it is. And I talked to the DA, and he was, they knew him. Long story short, they knew him. They had him in custody many times before. The guy had two felonies, armed robbery, grand theft.
He was convicted. The other thing, it's always someone that's committed other crimes. Yeah.
They had many chances to remove that person. And then my son's death and many other deaths wouldn't happen. So he had all these priors, and he had been caught twice driving drunk, no license. And he drove again, and he was right under the legal limit of being drunk. And by the time we got to court, the DA, who claimed to give Dominic justice and make sure that I will feel a little bit of relief, he made sure to talk me out of going to trial. I had no clue what was going on. He said, we got a hearing. That way we can bring in the prior charges, blah, blah, blah. And eventually the judge, who also knew the killer, made sure they gave him a misdemeanor, vehicular manslaughter without gross negligence. And he got sentenced to 9 months and 5-year probation. A guy
he doesn't even get deported? You don't get deported?
Well, that took us, Anthony and I, it took us a year and a half of fighting, of going to the immigration center where he was held. And we met a guy there, a correction officer named Cyrus. And he made sure, because he was so angry, he made sure that he was watching this guy. And he let us know when there was a hearing so I could show up. I couldn't be in the courtroom with the killer of my son because he had rights.
What?
How strange is that? Yes, you can't.
I don't understand that. Yeah. Why?
Well, because that's just how it goes. Matter of fact, while the hearing was going on, Tudor, Anthony took me out of town just to get away. And all of a sudden, he got a call and he started acting real weird. We know when our husbands, you know, something's up. And I asked him, I said, what was that about? He said, oh, nothing. Just don't go on Facebook. Right. Immediately, I wanted to go on Facebook. And Anthony took my phone. And he's never been like that. He found out that illegal alien killer was released on $10,000 cash bond. So you sit there and you try to understand how an illegal alien with two felonies, two DUIs, all of that can be bonded out. And where does a day laborer get $10,000 cash from? The saddest part was we thought he would flee the country. We would never see justice. No, he's as arrogant as every other illegal alien that comes here. And I'm painting with a broad brush because it's like a bowl of Skittles and there are three poisonous ones in there. We don't know which ones they are. That's the same with illegals. You got two good ones and five bad ones. We don't know. But
and this is coming from a woman who immigrated to this country.
Yes, I immigrated in 1989. Took me 6 years to become a citizen. Cost a lot of money, a lot of time, paperwork. But I'm proud that that is my flag. So this guy came back and the judge asked him, do you have anything to say to the victim? This dude sat there with hands in prayer and said, God gives, of course, translator that my taxes paid for. God gives life. God takes life. I was only on my way to work. And that's when they had to peel me off the floor. And I hear constantly, well, Dominic could have been killed by an American. Sure, he could have, but he wasn't. And if that illegal or all other illegals are not here to start with, we wouldn't have thousands and thousands of victims.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this is something I want to ask you about, because we have had this conversation of late in Michigan, because we have the guy who was trying to find kids online. We have the man who shot the woman in the car, left her body on the highway. We have the gangs that are breaking into people's houses. And we're being told that if you talk about it, you are unfairly politicizing it. This is not a political issue, but we know one party wants to do something. One party doesn't want to do. Actually, they want to do something worse. They want to continue to let these people come in.
That's right.
You have talked about your experience with the Trump administration. Can you go into a little bit about when people say he is not really serious about this? What was your experience with Donald Trump?
I was fortunate enough to meet Donald Trump, his campaign called My House. And I thought it was one of Dominic's friends pranking me, and I hung up. But thank God they called me back. And they said that Donald Trump, it was 2015, July 2015. It was 2 days before the anniversary where I always celebrated Dominic's life with all his friends at the house, that he's in L.A. and he would like to meet me. So Anthony and I drove. We sat in a conference room with other angel parents, and all of a sudden the door opened. And I'm telling you, I'm still seeing it this way. And the door opened, and all I could see was light, smoke, and this big guy just gliding in the room. He wasn't walking. He was gliding. It's such a weird image I have from that. It was so impressive. And he sat with us. And wanted to hear our stories. There were no security guards around, nothing. It was just him and us. And he listened to our stories. He had tears running down his face. later down the road, I got a call again that he wants me to share Dominic at the RNC in Cleveland. So the night of the opening, I got to share Dominic with 45 million people. And I used to be deathly afraid of public speaking. I couldn't even do this. I was so afraid, but I became his voice. And Donald Trump, I got to share with him that he actually saved my life back then. After Dominic died, you know, there's the funeral and there are people around, and then it gets quiet. And right. Now I'm talking about illegal aliens, illegal immigration. The news who used to come around, because Dominic was such a big guy in our area in Riverside County, everybody knew him. But once I started telling the truth, they faded away. People faded away. Family members didn't like me talking politics, but politics happened with this case. There was no way to make it look pretty with a bow and sprinkles. And right. I wasn't into politics, but I'm walking through my living room and the TV was on and I see Donald Trump come down the escalator. And I thought, oh, is he doing another Apprentice? Because I love when he says, you're fired, you're fired. I just loved it. And so he walks up on the stage and there are American flags and I'm still listening. And he says something, I'm running for president of the United States, something, something. And then he mentioned illegal immigration, and it hit me so hard because I had planned my suicide. I had it all planned out. I was about to go through with it the next week. My husband, then boyfriend, didn't know, had no clue. And when he said illegal immigration, I dropped to my knees. I looked up and I looked for God's face and saying that I know this is on purpose. I'm not done here. I can't end it. I got to stay around. Well, I had no clue that I would speak at the RNC. I had no clue I would be on the campaign trail, on the stage with him. And even recently, a couple months ago, I'm at Mar-a-Lago a lot. I have a lot of friends now in Palm Beach. He walks by and he sees me and he comes over, gives me a hug and says, there's Dom's mom. I know Dominic is looking so proudly down on you. And you stand there in front of this bigger-than-life man that saved your life, brought forward all the issues with illegal immigration that nobody talked about. I heard Hillary talk what she will do for illegals and refugees. And yes. I switched to Republican when I heard her say that. And you stand in front of this man who has the biggest heart, who wears... He can be really tough. He says what he thinks, and I appreciate that about him. But he has the biggest heart. He's a father. He knows how much his children mean to him. And a parent cannot imagine what it is to lose one of your children, because that's just something your heart gets protected. It's ugly.
Absolutely.
It's so ugly, and I don't wish that on my worst enemy. But Donald Trump has done, and his team, Kayleigh McEnany wrote in her book, American Revolution, about Dominic. She put his story in her book. So that man made sure that there were a lot less angel moms and dads.
I think the people who are listening need to understand, here we are 12 years later, and this is still a fresh pain. And I still see the tears of a mom who lost her son. And that's when people try to minimize this. You are the people that we're fighting for. And the next person, because it could be me, it could be anybody that is listening to this podcast. You just don't know. Right. I mean, we already just had this happen to Lake and Riley. We've just had this happen to Ruby Garcia. It's like, how I hear the Democrats say, well, when does it have to be this? When are we going to see another one of these? Well, wait a minute. When are we going to see another innocent life lost because of the policies? Yeah. Yes. And how many more?
And Tudor, it's, you know, when they call me a racist, clearly that's my German chocolate. So I just yawn or grin or smile because it's not worth my time. I get called Ku Klux Klan. I said, yep, I use white sheets on my bed sometimes. I get called Nazi because I'm from Germany. People want to minimize this. And sadly, it's not just the many deaths It's when people need to check their children's social security numbers. They are being stolen and used by illegals. Their car insurance, you better make sure you are insured for somebody that's not insured. There's so much fraud and theft. It's not just theft, and it costs America. And last year, $450 billion plus a year. Can you imagine what we could do with that? But
You've got Democrats who want to pay more. I mean, in Michigan now, she's giving Michigan families $500 a month if you take someone into your home. I mean, this is here. We have this woman who was just killed by someone who became her boyfriend. I mean, that's the other thing. Our daughters are dating these people, not knowing that they're gang members, not knowing that they're murderers. This is, and this to me, when people say, oh, you're allowing this to become political and it shouldn't be, isn't the first rule of government to protect the people? Shouldn't that be what the government is there for? If we're going to say that the government has any purpose, then shouldn't it be law and order?
Absolutely. And I've learned through the time why the left, why the Democrats just keep bringing in illegal aliens. By the busload, they flew in 320,000 over the border. So the border apprehensions are lower, so they can say, oh, look at us. No, they flying them in. They paying for them. They get everything that Americans in need don't get. And matter of fact, I had to write it down. It's not about cheap labor only, because we have a Tyson plant here. Well, there's a Tyson plant that's closing to open up somewhere else. 1,200 or more people going to lose, Americans going to lose their jobs while they're going to hire illegal aliens. Of course, cheap labor. Who are they going to tell? Who are they going to complain to?
You're right. I mean, think about, we just heard about the bridge that collapsed in Maryland.
Yeah.
And the six men who were filling the potholes, supposedly people have come out and said they're illegal. And I think it was, who was it that had the terrible tweet about it? Oh, it was Sarah. You know who it was. Geraldo Rivera was like, aren't you glad that people will do these dirty jobs? Which made me so mad because I'm like, Americans want to do construction jobs because they pay a lot of money. But my question is, this is clearly a government contract. So were they paying illegals and how were they paying them? Were they paying them under the table? Were they paying them less than prevailing wage? Yep. Why aren't Democrats up in arms about that? This is all baloney.
Yeah. And Geraldo Rivera is a special kind of stupid. I mean, he would show up in the dictionary under intensely stupid. And he blocked me on Twitter because I always let him have it. He's such a blowhard. But illegals also vote. And people say, no, they can't. I said,
they
cannot sell cocaine, but it's still being sold. So, yes, they do. I know that for a fact because I know people in many different higher and lower places.
I have to have you come out here to Michigan and talk about this because listen to what they did in Michigan. In northern Michigan, they created a nonprofit called We the People. You know what it was? It's all nothing but illegal aliens who worked in We the illegals. Exactly. They flipped a house seat, a state house seat in Michigan because their candidate who they paid to be a candidate was promising driver's licenses for illegals. What do you think that means? If you've got a driver's license, you can vote.
You're going to vote, of course. And that was my third point for having millions of illegals coming in. It's like 10 million plus under Biden is they get counted in the census, which means you can gain a congressional seat. So it is political.
This is exactly what Elon Musk was trying to tell people.
Yes. And people shrug their shoulders. But you know what? I still have people close to me that still make excuses for illegals. And I get it. I understand we all want a good life for our children and for our families, but it can't be on the expense or on the back of somebody else. And I was asked to do a film with a Hollywood producer, and it's called America's Forgotten. And they did different stories. And one of them was, so people don't say, oh, she's so hateful. She's just so cold. One of them was an illegal alien woman. She was told how beautiful America is, that she can shop at Beverly Hills all day long. She can go to Disneyland every day. She paid $5,000. Well, she didn't have $5,000. So now she owes the cartels that brought her over. She owes for the rest of her life. And guess how she got it paid off? Prostitution, drug runs. She was brought over. And while she was brought over, she was telling her story. She was raped by multiple people. She is now has PTSD. She's afraid to leave that little dark room she has because people are being lied to come here.
Right. She doesn't just owe the cartels. She's owned by the cartels for life.
Exactly. For life. She can never pay that off. Children, we have, is it 38,000 children are missing? Unaccompanied minors. Your listeners, 38,000 kids. Nobody knows. You ask Biden and them, they just shrug their shoulder. They were handed over to so-called sponsors. Pedophiles, sex trafficking, snuff films. Look it up and be prepared for a nightmare. So we have all this. If Russia came over to the Ukraine, it was an invasion. We have millions coming in. It's like, we got it. We got it.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is not a humanitarian aid to bring these people in and allow them to be brought in by the cartels and then owned by them. I mean, I think your stories are so important. And that's why I love that you have become Dom's voice, because who was going to speak out for the children? It's not just your son. It's the thing that people don't understand. You're not just fighting for America's children. You're fighting for all of the children who are being brought across this border illegally and against their will.
Yes. The women who get told stories or forced over, the women who get forced to or do sell their children. I remember a story of a six-month-old that came with her parents. Well, the cartel stopped them and said, you got to pay more. They took the baby. The baby was raped to death. And then the father drowned.
That's so disgusting.
The mother made it across. And that story wasn't on the front page. So we care about people anywhere. That's why America is such a generous country. You can immigrate legally. Yes, it's going to take time. And I think we could spend more time on making it easier, better.
Right, because if you're looking for the right people, and that's something that, I mean, we even found this. We have very few people that understood foundries. There's very few people that understand what it takes to make steel castings. And my dad had worked with men in the Czech Republic, and he had all of these guys that this was their expertise. But through our immigration system, they didn't have a degree, so they weren't considered experts. But it was a skilled trade expertise.
Yes,
and
yes,
so I agree with you. I think there is a way to change the system to say the people who want to come here and that want to do these jobs, that understand these jobs, we should be able to get them here, but we can't. And instead I have Democrats saying, you just don't want these people to come and get jobs. No. I've been in the situation where we've wanted that and can't get it because of your system.
Right.
And they say there's no good bill. They're not introducing a bill.
No, they have. Matter of fact, there is a good bill out there, but they won't even pay attention to it because it doesn't include Ukraine or anybody else who gets money besides us.
A bill that would allow 2 million people to cross.
Right.
That's unvetted
not a
every
bill
year.
That works. And
no,
you know, I tell people, I say, if you don't get this whole illegal alien thing, I get it, unless you're touched by it or you experience the tragedy. But imagine you're in your house and every day 10 people that you have no clue who they are walk into your house, sit down, eat your food, drink whatever you have, sleep in your daughter's bedroom because they said they're a nice guy. They, you know, every day, how long would it take for those people who claim it's not that bad to call the cops to have these illegals that entered their home removed? That's what's happening here. And the more we give these illegals free this, free that, free healthcare, free living conditions, everything is free. Of course they come. It's like when you feed rats every day, the more you feed, the more they come. That has to stop.
And you see these people now breaking into people's homes, taking over the homes. But I think the most important thing that we need to talk about, and I appreciate the fact that you're willing to talk about it, is that when we lose a life in this country, it is not a life lost. It is multiple lives that end up changing for good. And we almost lost two lives in this situation of losing Dom.
Yeah.
But how many other parents are in that situation? How many families are just broken? But Ruby Garcia's, I think it was her sister, said something about, you have no idea how many people she impacts on a daily basis. Yeah. Like the fact that she's gone is going to be so hurtful. I mean, same with Lake and Riley's family. Yeah. You heard about all the people that came to that memorial. It's the people left behind that are saying, why can't we just feel safe in our own country?
Yeah. And sadly, Tudor, I talked to many families, and I almost became like a counselor without the degree, that reach out to me, that don't want to be on the news, that don't want to talk about it publicly. So I listened to them because I know their pain. I know from the moment they get that call, like when Lake and Riley was killed, I knew it was an illegal alien before the news talked about it. My radar went up, and my husband had to pull me away because he could tell I was reliving that moment of getting that call, trying to figure out that it's a lie, it's not true, it's a nightmare. So there are so many, there are thousands like me that their families have been destroyed, their lives. Dominic was my only child. He couldn't walk me down the aisle when I married Anthony. I will never have that grandbaby that I promised to spoil rotten. With the eclipse, we were sitting outside. It was just that beautiful God-made moment that nobody could control but God with the eclipse, and it got dark. And I'm sitting outside crying because I know my son would have called me from his plane saying, Mom, look, I'm up here in the sky watching it. So we get robbed of all of that. And I know many other people lose their loved ones. And it's the same pain. But the ones who lose children or loved ones because of an illegal alien have that added pain because it was 100% preventable. Real right. Simple.
Absolutely.
Zero death of Americans by zero illegals in this country. Real simple. Not 200 here or 5,000. No, zero. And it could be right. doable. But, you know, when one party doesn't want to end it, because they could, all the excuses are lame. They flat. We know they could fix it because Donald Trump had it under control. And the day Biden got in that White House, he changed all these rules and laws, and he just reversed it. And look where we're at now. Everywhere you go, every state, every city. But Tudor, I have something. I work with FAIR, Federation for Immigration Reform. And I asked him for numbers for Michigan. You ready to get your mind blown?
Yes, I think so.
Illegal alien, that's 2023. Illegal aliens in Michigan, 185,000. So you can add a couple more thousand easily. There, roughly 63,000 U.S.-born children live there too. So they are the anchor babies where those children are, if they're born in the United States by two illegal alien parents, it's now a citizen. Now they can bring their family over and they get everything that we paid our your parents, my parents were in Germany, your parents paid into for. Illegal alien households add 83,597 students to local schools. Now, people need to understand that a 12-year-old coming from Guatemala, like the guy that killed Dominic, they're not the same 12-year-old that we have here.
Right.
So right. Your daughter sit next to a 12-year-old, he looks at her different than the average 12-year-old. What are taxpayers supporting? Education, $954 million. Police, legal, and correction, $84 million. Plus health care, public assistance, general government services, and expenses. So illegal immigration costs Michigan taxpayers $1.12 billion with a B.
Oh my goodness.
So
wow.
When here in Arkansas, I see elderly couples go to Walmart, they can barely afford their bread, meat, and medication anymore. And then I know what illegals get. It takes everything in me when I see them with their baskets full. And I don't want nobody to suffer. I don't want people to go hungry, kids, you know, not having a bed. No. But I take care of my family first. I took care of my son for 30 years. He was a good kid. Right. I was a part of that. And when
let me ask you.
Yeah, go ahead.
If somebody is looking for, if a family, when this happens, if a family is looking for someone to talk to, how do they find you? How do they find the groups that are helping them?
I put up this, I started a website. I didn't want an organization. I didn't want to deal with this. I didn't want to run for office and be beholden to anybody telling me whether I can call them illegal alien or not. So they can reach me on domhux.com. That's a website I share everything I do, my moments with Trump and so forth, and the visits to the border. They can also reach me on Facebook, Sabine Durden Coulter, I believe it is, and on X. I'm finally back on because before Elon Musk came back and got it, I was banned for 2 years.
Oh, my goodness. You're kidding me.
I think they didn't like that I'm on there daily blasting what I find out from deep within, from the front lines. So I'm back on X. So you find me there and contact me. Ask me anything. You don't have to agree with me. I'm good. I can talk with people. I want to learn.
You're amazing.
Well, thank you. I've learned that I can do better than being bitter. And that was never in Dominic's DNA, no matter what happened to us through the years. Him and I, we always took joy in laughter, in pranks, and really enjoying the little things. Riding our motorcycles together and So I have 30 years of unbelievable memories and not one bad one, except
well, you've made so many more unbelievable memories for us. So yeah. I am so blessed to know you.
Thank you. I am so blessed
to have had you on today. Thank you.
I'm so thankful for you. Thank you, Tudor.
Thank you. And like she said, you can find her on X. You can find her on Facebook. Go to Dom Hugs. It's DOMHUGS.com. Is it .com, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Check it out. Thank you so much. And thank you all for joining us today on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com and subscribe there, or head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Have a blessed day.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.